All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, so nice to see you all again this evening. Let's quickly get into our teaching. We have surprisingly just little time left. That is, tomorrow evening, everything will be over. And I just realized that we still have so many things to say. Let's rise and take the declaration of the Word of God together. All right, let's declare God's Word together. One, two, let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
In agreement with you, I declare that the word of God will have express way into your heart this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will hear your own word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will hear your own word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I can be speaking it in Tongo, but you will hear it in your own language.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. As you are sitting down, please welcome somebody on the left and on the right. Tell the person, welcome to the study of the word. Welcome to the entrance of life. Welcome to breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. I'm excited this evening. I don't know why, but I suspect why. I don't know, I feel I have a word. Do you feel like that once in a while? All right, the laws of fruitfulness, we have been looking at it. We are learning what it takes for a Christian to succeed. We are learning what it takes. We are not average people. We are people of God. We succeed by grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That is, I am not what I am by my qualifications. I am not what I am by my labor. I am not what I am by what I have been able to achieve through human connections. Everything that I am by the grace of God. And that's what we have been looking at. And he said, of first importance, I deliver this point to you, that spiritually you have been covered. Spiritually you have been delivered. The reason why people should be down, the reason why people are under a curse, has been removed from your life. That is a matter of fact. That was the first thing that we looked at that day. And then we now looked at other things like the law of course, we'll talk about the law of faith and grace. So faith is the principle by which we activate grace in our lives. That is, we know what God has said concerning us. We'll not talk about that in detail, but this is part of it. We know what He has said. We hold on to that. We don't hold on to what the environment says. When you read the news every day, they tell you there's recession. We said we don't believe when people tell us there's recession. We take only what God has said. And we said there is a law of seed time and harvest. The problem with a lot of people is that they don't know what the real seed is, okay? Yesterday in the morning, when we were talking with business and career session, I talked about the principle of excellence, how excellence must be a watchword for believers, that excellence must be the thing we go after. These are the principles that underlie the success in the life of the Christian. The spiritual things are first. That is, it's what God has said that we are holding on to. We have been delivered. That means that we don't need to run up and down like the devil looking for where prosperity is. We must avoid the spirit of Issachar. The spirit of Issachar is the one that everywhere things look good. He wants to jump there. If he said that, okay, hey, where is happening now? Ghana is blooming. They run to Ghana. Ghana, you know, is quiet now. Where is the next action? It's South Africa. They're in South Africa. When he said, no, it's England. They are in England. That is not the spirit of the overcomer. That is not the spirit of the victor. In Christ Jesus, you tabernacle where God has placed you, and you expect a blessing there. I give something that I know somebody, noticed somebody say, that Abraham went westward. The first person on record in the Bible that went toward the west. Everybody else would run toward the east. He went contrary to what everybody was doing, and God prospered him because he had a promise and he had a blessing in his life. It was not the environment that prospered Abraham. It was God that prospered him. That is a law of grace that we are looking at, all right? So I think so I've been looking at. Now, today I want to continue from that particular point, all right? If I remember a few things I need to review, I'll go back to it. But let's just continue from that point now this evening. I'm trying to catch up on time. I just realized that we have only tomorrow to finish this. I will still have so many things that we have not said. Now, what I want to talk about today, did I give you the word? Yes. Sometimes when I give the law of something, I talk about many other things. Do you understand? So please bear with me. Today I want to talk about the law of gifts. What did I say?
The law of gifts.
The law of gifts. Now, I'm not talking about life being a gift of God now. I'm going to emphasize the fact that God has placed a gift in each one of us. Now, before I get to that, I need us to read a particular portion of the scriptures, which was the last thing I read before coming in for this meeting this evening. And I want us to read from Genesis chapter 30. The summary of what I want to talk about today is funny. You can summarize it as expect a miracle. What did I say? Actually, as believers, let me just emphasize this. We read from Luke chapter 19 yesterday and I think the day before. And I need to emphasize when I was talking about the fact that we are dealing with, that anything we are looking for in life is a gift of God. Part of the law of grace. Wherever you are going to get to in life as a believer, it's God that will plant you there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is not your own work. It's not your own effort. It is by the operation of the Spirit of God. Nothing takes the Lord by accident. We said that life has seed time and then there is a time of harvest. And I broke that thing down to my friend's breakdown. My friend used a breakdown. It says seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8. He said seed, comma, time, comma, and then harvest. That is, from the time you plant your seed, there is a period and then you find the harvest. Now let me just say this briefly. A lot of people miss, and that's the problem with when you want to follow people, you don't follow the word of God, and people who can teach you the word of God. Many people get results in life. The Bible says they don't know how. He planted the right seeds. He watered it correctly. And then they got the results. But the Bible says he himself does not know how. He ascribes success to things that, humanly speaking, not having been trained with the word of God, he thinks that's where they should come from. But we, when we look, being people of the Spirit, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see were not made out of things that are visible. So if a man tells you his story, if he does not conform with that faith explanation, we don't listen to it. We say there must be things in his heart that he did not think were important. Are you getting my point here? That's why you must follow the word of God. Because many times I've heard people say things like, we did not know the right thing to do that time. Now we know it. And then you look and say, that thing you are saying not the right thing to do was the seed. I will explain as I go on. Sometimes people sow the right seeds, but they don't appreciate their seeds. Because in the time of harvest, let me quickly say something. The Bible says when Solomon was speaking, he said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the cloud will not reap. You know what that means? The time of seed sowing, there's work to do. The time of harvest, there's work to do. Are you getting my point here? The fact that it's harvest doesn't mean you drop in your hands. You still have to do something. So that's why he said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. It means in the time of seed sowing, there's something to do. And the time of harvest, there's something to do. That's why the Lord said, if those who are observing the cloud, they won't go and do the thing that's supposed to be done in time of harvest. All right? They won't do it. Now, why am I saying this? Many times, okay, people look at what they did in the time of harvest as a principle by which they got results. But no, it was just the work of harvest time. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Let me give an example. You are a minister. You are a preacher of the gospel. For 10 years, you've been preaching. Then one day, somebody showed you how to design flyers cleverly. Are you getting my point? And you did. And you attracted 1,000 people in one simple program where you used to attract only 50 people. Before, only 50 people would come. Are you getting my point? Now, that flyer, the announcement you did, if you read that Mark chapter 4, he said he puts in the sickle because the harvest is ripe. That was the sickle. Now, those who don't know it, now teach people who are just coming, say, design your flyers like this. There's a particular circle when you use, it pulls in the eyes into the information and prints it on the heart. And every young man that copies it, they get nothing. Why? It is not their harvest time. You bought a sickle when you should be buying a hoe. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Many things people are taught, they are principles of harvest. They're not principles of fruitfulness per se. There are things to do in the time of harvest. So we Christians must be careful that we don't fall for those things. Many of the things that the world teaches us, they are the things of harvest. And that's why we spiritual people as believers, we are careful to know the things of seed. And that's what we've been looking at. For example, knowledge of God is a seed. Knowledge of how to do righteousness is a seed. Knowledge of faith, that is the practice of faithfulness, dwelling in the land and cultivating faithfulness, is a seed. If you buy a combine harvester when you did not plant a seed, and did not nurture your seed and wait patiently through the time of time, are you going to buy a seed? Time of harvest, the time of patience. You go and buy a combine harvester, you will have nothing to harvest. So please don't ever forget, because many times, they overlook the principle of seed. They don't know how to interpret seed properly. They now sit down and they are learning the principles of harvest. If the time of harvest comes, you have nothing to harvest. You can use all the principle of harvest you want to use. You will get nothing. People often overlook the things that are the seeds of life. And that's why we have to explain them carefully. That's why you have to follow the word of God. Because many times, many of the books we read, they are teaching us the principles of harvest, but they don't know. Only the word of God can open your eyes, because seed, life is spiritual. It's spiritually determined. What makes a man succeed, makes a woman succeed, is not the outward things you are seeing. It's the things that are inside that you are not seeing. Please, I hope you are following my point here. That's why we're looking at a lot of these things. So we're looking at what are the seeds. I'm not going to talk about that now again today, all right? Although they all mixed up, okay? Now, the seeds, I've given an example. Knowledge of God, the fact that you know that in Christ Jesus you are free, is a very powerful seed. Paul said it's the first and most important thing. This is of foremost importance. Faithfulness, wherever you are, I'm going to get back to it again today. These are all seed things. Then the time of harvest. There are things you will do, and usually there are things that you've done before. The only difference now is that where you put in one level of effort and you got five levels of result, You put in the same level now and get 500. People will say you are lucky. People will say you know how to do it, but it's not true. It's just that you are in your own season of harvest. I hope you're getting my point here. I like the story. Please, if you can lay your hand on this book, you should read it. Miracles Happen by Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. One day her son called her and said, "Mommy, why is it that everything you put your hands to turns to gold?" This woman started Mary Kay Cosmetics after she had retired from marketing. She was working for Stanley Home Products. She started Mary Kay Cosmetics for one simple reason: just to prove that she knew the better way to handle marketing. She did not start Mary Kay Cosmetics to make money. She did not start Mary Kay Cosmetics to sell cosmetics. She started that company to prove a point. She just wanted to tell people that there is a way to do business, and you guys have not been doing it correctly. That's all. Henry Ford said the same thing. Now, but let me talk about Mary Kay. Once a man came to her son, and said, "I have this investment opportunity." He talked to the mother. The mother put in some money, I don't know exactly how much. He found a new way of prospecting for oil. One day, Mary Kay Ash went to church, and the pastor said, "Please, I want you to help us speak to people to give money for this, our children's wing of the church that we want to build." And finally, it was their day to speak. And as she was getting ready to go, she had planned to write a speech. She's a good speech writer. But then she went for a party or a function with her husband the night before, and they arrived home very late. So by the time she woke up, it was morning, time to get ready for church. She had not prepared her speech. As she was applying her cosmetics in front of the mirror, suddenly a thought dropped in her mind. And she said, "When people say they hear God, that's the closest you ever had to it." And the thought said, "Offer to double anything they will give this morning. That if the whole church gives $2,000, you give $4,000. She thought about it, as this is a very weird thought. She kept it in her mind, then she prepared a small speech in her head, got to church, began to talk, and was perambulating, talking. Finally, she said, "Let me just say that thing that came to my mind." And she just said, "All right, anything you give this morning, I will double it. If everybody gave $2,000, she will give another $2,000 to make it $4,000. Are you getting my point? That's how you double things. Okay? She said, "Okay, Whatever you guys give today, I will match it. And she relaxed, and that was it. She said that she expected that she would get, like, because of her push. Because normally they get between $1,000, $2,000 on a good day. Now, because she has spoken, she felt that they would get up to $5,000. So she needs to come up with $5,000. But when she didn't hear from the church council by evening, she knew something was odd. She felt that maybe the money is more than the plan. So she said, this money must be huge, must be up to $10,000. Let's give it in Nigeria of today. It's like you felt that, well, the money won't be more than $250,000. So you give it $250,000. Because that's not direct calculation, because, you know, what money means to people in a society is not always the direct calculation. Are you getting my point? Okay. So let's just use Nigeria's method, Nigeria of 2016. So she was thinking maybe like $250,000. But now, I didn't know they have not spoken with me now. It probably be up to ₦1,000,000. For them, it was $10,000. So next morning, her phone rang. It was the head deacon. And that one said, we're having a meeting. Sorry, we didn't get back to you. Want you to know that the elders met yesterday night and we decided that whatever the pledge you made, you have been released from it. That the elders said, as a church, whatever we bind on earth, I'm adding words now, is bound in heaven. So they said, we hereby release you from that pledge you made in front of the brethren. And she said she knew the money must be big. We're taking $10,000 here, $20,000. She said to the elder, sorry, I made the pledge. I'm a person of my word. I intend to keep it. Let me make a long story short. When the man told her how much, instead of $10,000 or $5,000, it was $106,000. Like that $1 million I was talking about today, it's like something between 10 and 20 million. Was what she had to come up with. Now, the problem, listen to this, was that she told them she does not deal in pledges. That anything you are giving now. The pastor had to whisper to her, says, it's Sunday, give them till tomorrow. He said, okay, anything you are giving latest tomorrow morning. What does that say? Whatever she is doubling, her own portion must come out that day. Suddenly they told her, that's this Monday now, because that's when they call him. It's $106,000. You have to come up with that if you are going to, fulfill your pledge, your promise. He said she paused on the phone. The elder got the gist. And said, ma, remember, we said you have been released from the pledge. And the church had the right to do it. They could do it. Spiritually, it would stand. But she repeated, no, I made a pledge in the presence of the brethren. I intend to fulfill it. She was now thinking, where will I get money from? She said, all right, my banker, they know me, they will give me the money. So she said, I'll go to the bank, get $100,000, take it to church later in the day. She was still there contemplating. That same phone rang again. That's where I began from. And her son said, was her son on the phone. He said, mommy, why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? She said, what are you talking about? He said, remember my friend that came with an investment opportunity some time ago? New way of prospecting for oil? She said, yes. He said, they just struck oil. The company is producing now. And your share in the first month is over $100,000. Now listen to this. She just made a pledge of $106,000. And that's been paid off by one phone call that she was not expecting. A phone call she wasn't expecting. Are you getting my point here? That's what her son said. Why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? This is where many Christians now make the mistake. You see where I'm going? Many pastors now say, today, if you want gold to be created from everything you touch, you will rush forward right now and pledge something you know you can't do. Mary Kay's story, is it true? Yes. But the woman was in her season of harvest. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm telling the story. In her season of harvest, everything turns to gold. Everything. That was the way the young man greeted the mommy. He said, mommy, why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? She started a company against all odds. It succeeded. She invested and forgot. She invested only because her son said, this guy is my friend. He's a very smart scientist. What he has developed is good. He just doesn't have money to launch it out. We're starting a company. Will you put money in? She put money and forgot. That is harvest season. Many Christians will not jump forward. Sorry, I don't mean to insult these men of God. The pastor now said that if you want gold flowing from your nose, from your ears, you want your teeth to turn to gold, rush forward with a dangerous offering. The only danger in your offering is your foolishness. There is nothing more than that. See one 24-year-old boy who has never given anybody anything. He now pledges a million naira. All the business he did in 6 months, profit 25,000. He's pledging a million naira because they told him that it will turn to gold. The young man is in a season of seed. He's trying to copy the acts that men, women did in the time of harvest. Which when they did, don't ever forget it. When Mary Kay did her own, she was not expecting to turn out like that. It was just her habit. The Lord could speak to her. The Holy Spirit could whisper to her. I said to you, she started a company after she had retired from Stanley Home Products. And she wrote a book. In that book, she said, this is how marketing should be done. She was a marketing person. She was not a cosmetics woman. She said, this principle of marketing my people use was not good. After 20-something years in that company, I have found out a better way to do it. So she wrote a book and said, who will buy my book? Nobody knows me. She told her sons, let us put the things in this book into practice. When those things will have worked, then people will know that they should read this book. That was how she kicked off Mary Kay Cosmetics. That was why it kicked off. What I wanted to say, when she sowed her seed, you must understand it's spiritual. Her seed must have been things she did while she was marketing for Stanley Home Products. Her fruit, her harvest, was what the Lord created Mary Kay Cosmetics for her to release. I hope you're getting my point here. When she was working in Stanley Home Products, she was not laying up treasure for Mary Kay Cosmetics. Please, let's bear that in mind. Seed for us believers is spiritual. Many times I've heard preachers laugh at things they did 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But I don't laugh when they are saying it. Because many of those things that they say are the reasons why ministry is what it is today. But the thing is the things we are doing now. No, you are just harvesting. You sowed your seeds. So please, when we're talking about seed, please don't forget it. I talked about the knowledge of God is a seed. Walking by faith is a seed. Faithfulness in the thing that belongs to another person is a seed. The time of harvest is a different matter. Let's read the story of harvest time. Like I said, the summary of what I want to talk about today is expect a miracle. Genesis chapter 30. I want to read a story about the life of Jacob. Please stop somebody. Tell the person, get ready for harvest.
Get ready for harvest.
Now, let me tell you something. Whether the harvest is now or later, just get ready for it. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Some people are saying they are seed time. Don't worry. Still get ready for harvest. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
the harvest will come.
Amen.
We believe, as Jesus said, occupy with this until I come. I will talk about this. That was initially my main message for today. Well, just before I came that the Holy Spirit pushed my mind to this. And I said, okay, let's start with it. We'll talk about that this. Occupy, be busy with this. Do business with this until I come. We'll talk about it. But let's look at this. Because I want Christians to have their minds on the miracle. When I say miracle, I'm not talking about just one thing. I want you to understand your life is supernatural. That's what I mean. So don't walk like normal people. Walk in a manner as if you know that God is watching you and is going to work a miracle in your life. And make sure you do things let me put it like this. Make sure you don't do things that will stop a miracle from flowing. I remember once when I was a final year student. Somebody said, why didn't you tell a lie about this matter? I said, why would I? It was a small thing. My lecturer came in, examiner, came from Port Harcourt, examiners in Benin, external examiner, finals in obstetrics and obstetrics. So the man came and said, all right. He saw a patient and said, oh, I will not ask you to do this procedure on this patient. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. He said, by the way, have you ever done this procedure? I said, no, sir. Now, he had told me he won't ask me to do it. I need the theory in my mind. If I said yes, sir, any question he asked, I would have answered. But he asked a simple and straightforward question. Have you ever done this? I said, no. And the man got angry. He was angry. How many weeks of posting did you do? I did a small calculation. I said 22 weeks. In 22 weeks, you did not do this? So it's not my fault. I didn't say it like that, too. You get my point? I just like, oh God, this is how things turned out. I tried to explain something to him. He was just angry. So I was supposed to follow him to the, we left the clinic. We were supposed to go to the office where we'll continue the orals. So one guy just pinched me. I said, why didn't you just tell him yes? And I turned. I don't know whether, I think I turned and told him that it wouldn't be true. And I said to the Lord, as I'm telling the story, I said, Lord, I have trusted you this far. And I said to him, I cannot afford to displease you now. My no that I said to that man, which was the truth, which I knew was dangerous, was because I said to the Lord in my heart, you are the one that's guiding me through. I don't want to offend you. So let this man be offended. But you, Lord, please don't be offended. That was the summary of it. That was why I said what I said. For that reason, of course, when we got to the man's office, he was still angry. He now began to ask questions. Now, I can't remember whether I answered all his questions, but for whatever reason, he was impressed with my answers. And he said, I will forgive you for not having done that procedure. He said, now what you are going to do, once you leave here, you will go to the world. I didn't do any of those things, forget it. Medical student, did you remember those things? We have other exams coming up. Usually we get only a week or two break before the next set of postings start. So, but I knew once I was working out, I knew I had passed. You know, from the tone of the examiner, you could tell. I said, I knew I had passed. Why am I saying that? I was expecting a miracle, and I did not want to offend the God of miracles. Are you getting my point? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. I want you to understand your life is a life of miracles. Now, no, let me not use the word miracle so I don't use the word miracle so as not to confuse things, okay? Your life is supernatural, I wanted to say. That's better. Why I say miracles, I don't want to use it. That people, you know, I don't want this kind of, okay, I do this, I immediately get this one. It doesn't always work like that. But God leaves you to operate at a particular level that people will marvel at what you do. But for you, it's normal. That's what I mean by your life is supernatural. All right? Now, for that reason, if you are dealing with the God of the supernatural, you have to be careful. You don't want to short-circuit the flow of his blessings. You don't want him to withhold his hands from doing something that he wants to do. You are not an average person. If you are a marketer, your clients, the angels write a list of them in the morning. You are a business person. Those who come to your office to patronize you are hand-picked. It's not a game of chance. That's what I want Christians to get. It's not a game of chance. Angels are real. Angels literally stand and direct people to you. I tell my wife all the time, you know, she said that it didn't really happen. I said, look, one day an angel tapped and said, go and greet that man. He'll marry you. Now, it's not she was looking for a husband. I mean, she was a final year student. You know, that's my point. But I tell her that, look, I was just standing. One young woman just walked up to me. I said, good afternoon, sir. I want to ask you a question. That's how it started. So I told her later, I said, an angel tapped you. I said, come, let me introduce you to somebody. I mean, I was standing my own JJ. An angel said, come. An angel didn't have to take me to go and introduce me to her. Do you know why? I was the preacher for the day. So she had seen me. So an angel, and I was talking to people, an angel just said, oh yeah, come, greet this man. So she greeted me. And an angel said, note that face. We'll talk about it later. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. That's life. The job you are getting is not an accident. Please, I'm going to get something to our minds. We are not average people who are living by chance. Where you will go tomorrow, the Lord is deciding it now. Just deciding it, I'm wrong. Decided it already. What he's doing is qualifying you for high places. So please, don't, you know, Paul said, if any man purges himself these things, he will be a vessel unto honor, prepared for the master's use. That is, you are preparing yourself for what God wants to do through you. But if somebody is a vessel of dishonor, he will be like Judas. God will still use him, but for an ignoble purpose. Using King James English. This is crucial we understand it. If you are going out in the morning as a Christian, you are going marketing as an example. Don't just go, today I must talk to 100,000 people. I mean, conversion rate, as the remember, conversion rate is supposed to be like 2%. A 2% conversion rate is fantastic. 100,000, you don't do calculation, you are an unbeliever. A believer stands and says, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. The people that you have ordained for me to meet today, I will meet them. In the name, you know, that's the attitude. When they note it later, if an average marketing person has a conversion ratio rate of about 10%, then this guy has maybe like between 20 and 80%, as an example. I say, how do you do it? I don't know. I just do it. It happens that they respond to me. And then you won't know, realize it, but something inside you has just said that, that man, don't talk to him, he's in a hurry. That man, don't talk to him, he won't listen. You don't know, but these things are just inside you. The Spirit, Holy Spirit is there. An angel is nudging. Angels are real. There are two types. Well, no. Don't let me say two types. But there are two scenarios in which you meet angels. One, you see them. The other one, you don't see them. They are the same thing. Sometimes an angel will dress, wear a nice suit, and meet you and say, oh, girl, what's happening today? Say, ah, please, we are looking for this. I'm supposed to see this MD. Ah, he's around. Who said he's not around? Don't mind them. They don't want you to see him. Follow me. He walked to the door and said, okay, go in there. Tell the secretary I told you to see the MD. Before you can ask, what's your name, sir? He has left. But that gives you boldness. You knock there and say, good afternoon, ma'am. Please, that man at the door now. He said I should see the MD. And the man, and you know, God makes people hear rumors. Maybe the woman had heard ahead before now that the chairman of the board is around. So in her heart, she just says, it must be the chairman that told this young lady to see the MD. So she said, please wait here. She gets up, goes to say, MD, please, an important lady is waiting for you. And you go in and you sit down. The chairman has heard the word important. And knows that my secretary knows the people that are important. So the MD sits down, listens to you, and you say, please, this is the proposal we have. If you will do this, invest and all of that. And he said, okay. And he responds to you, and you leave. Somebody said, how did you see that man? Ah, it's God, though. I just met one man. You met an angel. You will never find out. You know, God is not in the bragging business. You will never find out you met an angel. But this is how he opens doors for his children. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to stir up faith and expectation in your heart for you to know how God operates so you know what to expect. Don't be diving around life as if you're an average person. In life, you stand your ground that I am blessed. As I'm going out today, favor surrounds me as a shield. Tell your neighbor, please, for me. Let's preach together. Say, your life is supernatural. Please, let's read Genesis chapter 30. Now, I want to notice this story here. The man Jacob, for 14 years, he was working so that he would marry two wives. Now, for information, Laban was a hard man. In summary, Laban was a bad man. Forget this word, hard. He was a bad man. You see what he did in a moment. Now, please, to make it clear, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. All right? From verse 25. Now, at the end of 14 years, things have been happening in the life of Jacob. It was the last thing, verse 25. Soon after Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, please release me so I can go home to my own country. Let me take my wives and children, for I have earned them by serving you. And let me be on my way. You certainly know how hard I have worked for you. 27. Please listen to me, Laban replied. I have become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, please, the literal Hebrew there, if you read another translation, he said, I have divined that because of you, I have been blessed. That is, it was not just that I looked. People told him, people who understood spiritual things said, there is an aura around your life, which was brought into your life because of Jacob. So please don't let it go. And that's why he said, I have divined that God blessed me because of you. I'm just using a New Living Translation to make life easier for us because we have a lot to read. He said in verse 28, tell me how much I owe you. You've been the reason why I've been blessed. So whatever it is, I'll pay. That was a lie. You see what I mean in a moment. He wasn't willing to pay anything. Jacob replied, you know how hard I've worked for you and how your flocks and herds have grown under my care. You had little indeed when I came, but your wealth has increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you through everything I have done. But now, what about me? When can I start providing for my own family? Laban said again, what wages do you want? Jacob said, don't give me anything. Let's do this one thing, and I'll continue to tend and watch over your flock. Let me inspect your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with all the black sheep. Now, Jacob knew this. They were in the minority. They were not the majority. Maybe like 10%. I don't know the proportion, but they were in the minority, okay? He said, give these to me as my wages. Why am I doing this, verse 33? In the future, when you check on the animals you have given me as my wages, you will see that I have been honest. If you find in my flock any goats without speckles or spots, or any sheep that are not black, you will know that I have stolen them from you. All right, Laban replied. It will be as you say. Now notice verse 35. But that very day, Laban went out and removed all the male goats that were streaked and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted and had patches, and all the black sheep. He placed them in the care of his own sons, who took them from where Jacob was. You don't see bad guy before. This is one. He removed male goats that were speckled, female goats that were speckled. What did he remain? Hermaphrodite goat. Essentially, when Jacob came, there was nothing. Now, what I want to say next, it's not written like that in the scriptures. But I've read the Bible enough to know what I want to say is true, even though the Bible didn't write it in black and white. What happened was that God appeared to Jacob, sent an angel to him through a supernatural means, a vision or anything or something. He told Jacob what to do. Because what Jacob did next is unnatural. What Jacob did next is supernatural. It was not born out of scientific experience. It was not born out of the experience of herding sheep. It had to be a revelation of God. And if you read the other parts of the scriptures, you know that God had communicated things like this to people again and again. It's not written like that, what I just said, but I am convinced. I don't have a shadow of doubt in my mind that that was exactly what happened. So he executed what he was told. Let's read on. 37. Then Jacob took. Now notice something. Meanwhile, the Bible says Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. Know what the Bible says? When he was speaking about the way God is, God said, I think it was in Psalms. In Psalm 18, he said, to the pure, he shows himself as pure. To the crafty, God shows himself as crafty. Now, if you read King James, he uses words like that. But the Bible says, no, God is not crafty. So the Bible says that he shows himself as capable. That God says, I will handle you. You think you have sense. Watch me. Laban said he was crafty. Economy said he has recession. God said, I will show you that I'm the God of recession, and I can prosper anybody in the center of recession. The fact is that in the midst of recession, I hope you know the total value in the country did not alter. You know it didn't alter. All we are producing, we are still producing. The difference is the calculation they gave you. When they say there's recession, you know what it means? Wealth left some hands and went into some hands. And MMM came to help redistribute some other ones. And those who don't believe in God are following. In case you don't know, it is your money that will be redistributed to the hand of the unbeliever. Trust me, I'm a man of God. The Lord is good. Now look at what Jacob did. Then Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Then he placed these peeled branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that was where they mated. And when they mated in front of the white streaked branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Let me quickly say something to you. Some people may want to say that he understood the Mendelian genetics. It's not possible, because he had said before, you give me this so that if you find any, because their experience as sheep, as headsmen, was that those ones bought after their kind. So it wasn't experience was using to speak. It had to be revelation. And revelation showed him that, look, just put images in front of the animals. When they look at it, I will transform them. They will become exactly like what they are seeing. It was God that told him that. But like I said, this was a supernatural life the man was using, because it became his habit. Let me speak small English. That image in front of the animals triggered some epigenetic modification. I just felt like saying it. I don't know why. I feel better now that I've said it. The Bible says that they made it in front of these things that this man created, and they bore streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob, that was the agreement, separated these lambs from Laban's flock. And at mating time, he turned the flock to face Laban's animals that were streaked or black. That is how he built his own flock instead of increasing Laban's. Whenever the strong males were ready to mate, Jacob would place the peeled branches in the watering troughs in front of them. Then they would mate in front of the branches. But when he didn't like them, but he didn't do this with the weaker ones. So the weaker lambs belonged to Laban, and the stronger ones were Jacob's. Listen, this is a revelation. Nobody does this with common sense. As a result, Jacob became very wealthy, with large flocks of sheep and goats, female and male servants, and many camels and donkeys. Let's stop reading here. Like I said, expect the miraculous, the supernatural in your life. Amen. That is the principle of fruitfulness for believers. A business school is good, like somebody asked, read with care, but don't expect the results they promised. If somebody tells that, look, be nice to your clients, I think niceness is the will of God. Amen? But that is not the key to increase. Sometimes these are the principles of harvest. You know what I'm trying to say? It's harvest time. So a client that's bringing you 10 million naira, you don't want to beat him over the head. Do you want to do that? You smile to him. But for him to arrive at your doorstep with a business that will yield you 10 million naira, who brought him? That's where I want Christians to focus their minds. Because what we experience in life is a kind of expectation we have. If we expect to struggle like everybody else, we will struggle like everybody else. Please let me say it again. If you go around life thinking that it is when I have finished my PhD and I managed to get my MSc from Harvard and I get my PhD from Yale, I will combine the two, I will now walk up to Total, okay, I'm going to ask for a job. Then that is when I will make it in life. He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. If you make it like that in life, recession, you'll be the first to go. Later on, we'll see. Actually, it's vanity. Doesn't guarantee anything. The day you apply for the job, you find out two people came with two PhDs and two masters and one DSC. With more experience than you. And then let's not forget, Their father is on the board. As you enter like this, you will lose faith. You know, you just lose faith. You just know that God did not send you. The Lord is not with me in this one. Is the mother will get this point? Many people want to use principles of harvest when their seed did not germinate. Believers, this is what, in fact, I believe this is the message of the Holy Spirit for you for today. I will see what I can get into the matter of gifts, but I think I've been sent to just stir up the expectation for the supernatural in the lives of people. The Lord will open doors for you that you did not even know were there.
Amen.
You will lean against a wall. The man behind you will suddenly open the door and you'll fall into the space that God prepared for you.
Amen.
You did not even know a door was there. It was when they opened it that they said coming that you realized there was a door there. Please turn your neighbor, touch your neighbor again and preach with me. Say, expect the supernatural. Jacob, listen, God said, to the pure, I show myself as pure. To the crafty, I show him I'm capable. I don't know which translation I use the word capable. I check different ones. That's Psalms 18, verse 26. Laban thought he was crafty. God said, no problem. That's the way you want it. I will show you that Jacob has a blessing with him. And because of the blessing that came with Jacob, watch what I'm going to do. And you see, as we go on, one of the things I want to explain to Christians again is what the Bible calls wisdom for your salvation. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Very important. We don't succeed in life as believers because we have energy. A man who I like to use his life as an example, even though not a totally good example in its entirety, is Samson. You know one thing about Samson? Every time there was a fight, he could fight. You know that? It was predictable. You know that? I found out, you know, the first day I thought about it, that Samson was not a big man. I had never heard anybody say it. I grew up thinking that Samson was like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lee Haney, all those wrestlers you see, Sid Justice, all those men that are like 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide. You know them? You see them on TV. I assumed that was the way Samson looked. Then one day I was reading. Then I saw that Delilah said, what is the secret of your strength? Then it hit me that way too. If he was big, who would be asking such a foolish question? Then one day I was listening to T.D. Jakes. He said the same thing. I listened to this man the other day. David Paulson, he said, Samson must have been like me. And he's a very slender British man. He said, that's why somebody was asking, what is the source of your strength? I said, good, I'm not the only one that noticed this thing. But what I'm bringing out today is that Samson's strength was predictable. He knew it would come. Until Delilah shaved his hair, may they not shave your hair, man. Like I said earlier, that's why you protect what the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. You are a person of the supernatural. So you are careful that you don't do things that leak supernatural power. Samson's strength was predictable to him. He knew that this, when you are looking for trouble, slender Samson, probably weighing like 65 to 70 kg, an average height man, that's not big. And 100 Philistines are gathered outside and he's telling them, boys, go home. They say no. So is this the Samson everybody's afraid of? Samson says, everybody go home. They did not agree. They will take everybody and beat and kill and throw and use them as catapults, human means. Then they say, okay, let's be able to trap him in the city. They will lock the gates of the city. He will come out. That is part of it I like. Hold the city gates and yank it off the hinges. If you can yank this door. And he'll put it on his shoulder and climb the hill. That's what he did. He went and tossed on top of the hill. You guys go and bring it down from there. What's my point? The man's life was supernatural, but it was predictable. That's where I'm going. That's why I didn't want to use the word miracle. You know, earlier when I was switching miracle for supernatural. Daniel's life was supernatural, but was also predictable. It was so predictable when there was trouble. The queen mother, that the mother of the current king, went and said, let's send for Daniel. Let's read something about him. I like that expression. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. If I can't get to the main thing I wanted to say today, please, let's just enjoy this one. This is good. Amen? Like I said earlier, what am I doing? I'm provoking the hearts of Christians to be able to receive what God wants to do in their lives. God does not expect them to run with men or struggle with horses. He wants them to mount up with wings as eagles. Daniel chapter 5. Please, so as to save our time, let me really get to the point I want. Verse 11. Or let's start from verse 10. The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. Now listen to verse 11. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, now notice this, illumination, insight, wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar the king appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. Notice verse 12. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and the solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel. Did you notice that? If you go down to Daniel chapter 1, you will see that this was a gift of God. But it was predictable. Every time they saw Daniel, if they had a problem, they knew who to call. Please follow me. The law of fruitfulness, it's a spiritual endowment that we use to succeed. And I want Christians to focus on that. There's a man, I read the story, George Washington Carver. He was a scientist, but they said the man spent more time reading the Bible than conducting scientific experiments. But go and check the number of discoveries he made from the groundnut alone. They said, how did he do it? He said it was a matter of prayer. He said one day he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, I want to know the mystery of the universe. And God said, you don't have the brain. That even if I explained, you can't grasp it. Ask me for something else. So he picked up the groundnut. What you and I call groundnut? Peanut. I said, okay, tell me about the peanut. And from it, he pulled down at least 200 products. Because of spiritual insight. The shifting cultivation you learned in secondary school, he taught Americans how to do it. He showed them that the cotton was spoiling the ground, that they needed to alternate it with planting groundnuts. And there was a black man when they were still slaves. You can check his story out. George Washington Carver. What am I making from his story? What am I bringing out from it? The fact that we believers, we operate supernaturally. Are you getting my point here? And we need to kindle our expectation. God does not expect you, very important, he does not expect you to struggle the way average people struggle. He does not expect you to succeed using the same principles. What am I trying to say? Listen to this. He expects you to have something unique you can do that other people can't do. And it will come to you supernaturally. Life is spiritual, I keep on saying. A scientist who I like to quote is a man who's, because of him, you use laser today. Laser pointer, laser to read your disc, laser to do a lot of things, laser everything in this world today. His name is Charles Townes. Why I quote him all the time? He won the John Templeton Award John Templeton Award is given to those who showed they showed the reality. They are able to demonstrate the reality of spiritual things. The man Templeton was a rich man just like Alfred Nobel, who felt that, if you want things, if you want to do something, to learn some things, reward people who are researching in that area. Like Nobel give Nobel Peace Prize, science, you know, that kind of thing. So he gives, let me call it Nobel Spiritual Prize. But he's not Nobel, his name is John Templeton. So he gives prizes to people who can demonstrate the reality of the spiritual realm. He said he wants to encourage research into it. So why did Charles Townes get the John Templeton Award? It was simply because one day, no, Charles Stan was, it was, he said he was giving a testimony that if prophets say they have inspiration, that was what gave me the understanding of the Mesa. Mesa is like, well, they started with microwave, then went to light. If you know the meaning of light, is laser. It stands for light amplification through stimulated emission of radiation. That's the full meaning of laser. Don't bother cramming it. It's not a spiritual statement, all right? But Mesa is microwave, you know, instead of light, now put microwave. So he started with microwave. He said, they say it was not doable. His colleagues told him it wasn't doable. He sat down one day in the park, and the thing dawned on him. And they call it an epiphany in English. He said, this is how prophets get revelation. That was how I, a physicist, got understanding on how to bring this product out. And he went into his lab. Over 2 years, they brought his thing out. Based upon that, lasers now keep followed. Now, what am I going to say? It was inspiration. What God just does is to prepare us to receive inspiration. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, the law of fruitfulness we are talking about today is that law of gift. I'm going somewhere. You see, God does not want Christians to think they will succeed naturally. What does that mean? It means when they hear of recession, they should not be disturbed. Their success before was not dependent on everything naturally going well. It never was dependent on it. Their success has always been dependent on God supernaturally releasing something to them, which was what he did to Jacob. Laban sat down and said, I will show Jacob. And God sat down and said, I will show Laban. Please tell somebody, expect a miracle. Expect something supernatural. That tells you, your natural qualification is not what is going to give you success in life. It's what God releases upon you. Oh, my message today, please let me say it again, is realize something. Your life is supernatural. It is supernatural. And I'm emphasizing that it's not supernatural of which I'm just going on the road like this. I don't know what happened. A bag fell from the sky, praise God. And when I opened it, I found $1 million. $1 million, somebody shout hallelujah. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that there will be difficult problems like Daniel. They will say, no, ask that guy. He knows how to do it. Knowing how to do it becomes a part of your life. That's what I'm trying to explain. God expects each one of us to be distinctively, let me use the word, talented. He doesn't expect everybody to do the same thing and do it the same way, which is the reason why, you know, I told you I want to talk today about the law of gifts. Are you getting my point? Everybody's miracle is packaged in an area. You know what I said? Everybody has this supernatural ability packaged in a particular area. What happens many times is that the world takes Christians away. Now, I'm talking about Christians. Please, don't even try to judge the things I'm saying. Based on what, what's the name of this new age man? What did he write in? What is his name? 7 steps, 3 steps. What is his name? Anthony Robbins. You got it? Anthony Robbins. You know the guy writing New Age? And Christians will be grabbing, he will carry his book, cram it, and say they are motivationally speaking. You are motivationally lying. The man writing New Age, he does firewalking in his shoes. And they've sued him in that he said people could walk across fire. They walked across fire and got burnt. They went and sued the man. Please, I'm not talking Anthony Robbins. I'm not talking Stephen Covey. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking the word of God. That's what I'm going to explain. I'm telling you that God created you distinctly. But the world tries to remove us from where we are, where we are special. Where we are good, where we were created to be able to receive grace. Where we are created to be able to receive this power to be distinct and be unique. And he wants to put us everywhere where money is easy to make. You know the truth? That is why most times in life, wealth does not pass 2 generations. Most times. Because fathers struggle, they find their niche. They make it, then they want to be sure that their children don't take risks. Then the children turn out to be average. But everybody I'm preaching to this evening, the purpose that you will not be average.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about recession. Recession always tackles average people. Oh, that's what it does. Those who are poor were poor before the recession. So what's the difference? When you hear people shouting recession, just know those who are average. You will never hear Dangote shout recession. You won't hear Otedola shout recession. You won't see men who are doing massive industry shout recession. They may use tithe to shout it small so that they use it to extract something from government, but they don't believe it. The people that suffer are the average people. And please, let me pray for you again. In your life, you will not be average.
Amen.